Blog Talk Radio.
Options show for January 27th, 2013. And I'm Richard Olson with
Sherry Edwards.
Our sponsor this week is the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, presently doing research on weight management, yay, and the many faces of Parkinson's. And I might want to add in quickly that if people want to find out about getting an appointment, you can actually go on to the soundhealthoptions.com site, and there is a map and a listing of practitioners in your area, and there are new centers coming on, which Sherry will talk about.
Oh, we've got a new center coming in Georgia. They're going to be, that is going to concentrate on PTSD, and there's a new center in Florida. So if any of you would like to join Phil and Judy LaHaye, they have started a forum for new folks, especially the people who are joining us for our two-day seminar. Phil and Judy LaHaye have started a support for some of the new people who are taking the public courses. So I don't know, Phil and Judy, if you want to talk a little bit about this new how to get in and listen in a different way. Can you do that?
Of course, the tricky part is for the people that can't hear me on WebEx, that's going to be tricky because I'm on Blog Talk Radio. However, for those that can hear me, what you'll do when you come into the meeting, typically a window will pop open asking if you want to join the conference either using your computer or calling in on the phone line. And if for some reason that doesn't pop up, you can go up to the menu bar at the top of WebEx and choose the tab at the very top that says audio, and it'll give you an option up there to join conference, and then it'll give you instructions that'll pop open, showing you a window where you'll be able to either call in or listen to the audio by clicking on join by listening to the computer. But by the fact that people are joining, I see them in the WebEx meeting, so people are getting a pop-up. Or I'm not sure why some people aren't getting pop-ups. It's possible, I suppose, that if you had pop-ups blocked on your browser, that little window might not pop open. That might be the issue. Okay. They can also go to Blog Talk Radio, and they can call in there at 347-850-1407 and listen there. Or they can go online to blogtalkradio.com/Sherry-Edwards and listen to the audio online.
That is, I'm going to put that up too, because they could go to our site and go to radio.
The very top of soundhealthoptions.com.
Boy,
you can click on the radio tab.
So back to the centers. Real quick, we have a center, I think, opening in Australia. There's a couple down there that have been just absolutely excellent. They have the voices to be trainers. Some of you call in and I say that to you, and it's because there's something in your voice. What's the number to call Blog Talk Radio? Okay, 347-850-1407. And for those of you who can't see the chat, go up to the top of your screen if you're with us on WebEx, and there's a little green tab there. Punch that tab and it will give you the chat. You can click chat and it'll open it up on your screen so you can watch the chat and watch who's here all at the same time. To share information and ideas that help you take back your health care. I think we're being lied to about a lot of things, and I would really like to see us, the people, have dominion over what's going on. Please, when you come in, shut your mics off. for today, we're going to be talking about people lying to us, taking away our rights, and I think it's a deliberate attempt to make us sick. There are things that are happening that I think people are absolutely desperate about what's going on. I think the drug companies are desperate in wanting money just because they want more and more and more. So I have an analogy, two analogies actually. What if you see Washington, D.C. as a mining company? It's the head office, and what they are doing is mining all of our pockets to feed their own agenda, make a bigger house, feed all their friends, have big parties. That really brings an idea, a vision to what is going on. And what do you think about that, Richard?
I think it's, I can't tell if it's the chicken or the egg that they're, I always, of course, my default is to talk about greed and follow the money, because I see that as such a dominant factor. And I can't tell if they're actually creating the illnesses to make the money, or they're just taking advantage, or it's just a stupid mix like the thing that we were talking about pre-show, where they're applying chlorhexidine, which I believe could be immunosuppressive. I'll just put it that way, to babies in situations because they're concerned about MRSA. You know, if it's that we're breeding superbugs and stronger pathogens because we have so many chemicals and toxins, and somebody sees that and then snaps that opportunity up to make money off of coming up with an antibiotic rather than coming up with the idea of having stronger immune systems and killing the superbugs.
Well, we were talking about that on pre-show, if any of you listened in, and a lot of people just like to listen to Richard and I talk and try to work out the bugs. But we looked at this chlorhexidine. Now, that's bad enough. But it's the same frequency as mercury. So they're spraying mercury in the air for newborns to breathe to try to get rid of MRSA. And here we sat with the frequencies that we already know deal with MRSA, and we can't get anybody to listen. And we don't have enough money to have a clean room and all that to do this on our own. But so we looked at this idea about Washington mining us, mining our own pockets. Think about this. I want to bring this vision home. What if you ran your household like the government is now running our finances? Totally in the hole, millions more than what you're worth, credit cards to the max, 47 cents of every dollar you spend, you have to borrow to pay bills. What would happen to you? They'd take your house, they'd take your car, they'd take your furniture. You'd be sleeping in your car if you were lucky enough to have one. You couldn't pay your utility bills, they'd shut them off. But think about that image. Why are we tolerating the government economics when it's something that's totally against common sense? And Richard is all the time saying, follow the money, and he's right. But I don't think we should be following the stupidity. And that's what is happening. Nobody would tolerate you running your household and your job in the way that our government is running the country. There, that's... And it's gotten to the place where I am afraid of the government. This new thing that I just got on the internet, they want to make it so you can't have a garden without a license from the government. You can't grow one tomato plant on your balcony. You can't barter, you can't give away anything you grow out of your garden. Now, it doesn't say your neighbor can't come and steal it, but they might as well. Why? To keep Monsanto and kill all the seeds and kill the genetic foundation of plants? What is behind that? And on top of that, they have okayed drones to go out and watch your backyard garden. That is crazy. They've got enough to deal with. You know, and then you get people like Hillary lying to the government, and I mean, this is all over the news. What difference does it make that these people died? Well, if it's your child, your husband, it makes a big difference, and that's our government's attitude. What difference does it make? Ugh, I'm having a problem here. As we talk about these forced vaccinations, which is 100 kids die, what difference does it make? Okay, before we get up to all that, let's talk a bit about our keynote. We've tried to bring that to you every day because there are signals, frequencies coming from outside our universe, and NASA's studying them, Motorola's studying them, a lot of people are studying them. So we decided to put a frequency and a correlation to it, and Richard is going to add to this something wonderful. Richard is an expert in herbs. So the keynote today is an A sharp, and so that's going to be obvious in the next few days that A sharp is coming at us, and it depresses, suppresses our immune system. So your resistance is going to be tested. Here, too, is the energy for the lymph system. The muscles in stress are the jaw and big toe. So if you had temporal mandibular joint disorder, TMJ, where you can't open your mouth very well, or gout, which is for the toes, might flare up. Don't worry. It's going to be over in a few days. Or we do have frequencies for both of those. I'll give you an example. Kaiser Permanente spends $8,000 on average for a TMJ problem, and we can do it for far less, probably a tenth of that, and we won't be cracking your jaw and breaking your jaw and wiring it shut. It's very painless if you go see a bioacoustic practitioner near you. The active pathogen for this time is tooth plaque. And remember that that's associated with nanobacteria that attacks the pericardium, the sac around the heart. Tea tree oil has been recommended for these stubborn pathogens. But, Richard, I bet you've got some herbs in support of the immune system, right?
I do. I would suggest things like, just in a general sense, I really am a fan of, anything herbal. However, one of the things I would suggest is a family of herbs that are called adaptogens, such as, I'll use this as an example, Siberian ginseng. An adaptogen is an herb that if the system is too much, it'll balance it back down, and if it's too low, it'll help bring it back up. And Siberian ginseng has a lot of history of positive effects on the immune system. So I would be doing things that tonify and strengthen the not just the nervous system, but the overall system, meaning the body system and the body's immune system, such as adaptogens. Siberian ginseng is a great one. There's a really fabulous formula, which this isn't an herb, but it's based out of a company called Host Defense, and actually that's available at hostdefense.com by Paul Stamets, who's a brilliant mycologist, a fungus expert, who makes a product called Host Defense. And it's a spray, and you just spray it in your mouth a couple of times a day, and it is a wonderful immune booster. But it's not a false immune boosting, meaning it's not going to cause any kind of chronic stress on the system because it's not boosting it falsely. It's actually helping support it. So Host Defense is really fabulous. And, of course, my old friend's tea, a combination of burdock, dandelion, and yellow dock, a fabulous tea to drink on a daily basis, which is filled with all sorts of wonderful micronutrients and blood purifying action. And, you know, those are the simple ones. If people have questions, they can always email me at talktomeguy@gmail.com.
We should put that in there. I think people are having TalkToMeGuy@gmail.com. People are having trouble with the audio. I'm wondering why. Audio just dropped again, except for one beep. Now somebody is speaking.
Right, and the audio has been fine at Blog Talk the whole time.
Okay, well,
so at least we have a good solid recording at Blog Talk Radio.
Great, we can go back and listen to that. Well, as we talk about these forced vaccinations, and it's been in the news all over that nurses are being fired because they won't take these combo shots that are killing people. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Here's the evidence that this is killing people, and they refuse to take the shot, so they fire them, and sometimes a lot of them in mass. So we have decided to do a show about the flu and also to do our Guardian information, our Guardian Network meeting tomorrow. No, that's today. It's today, Sunday. From 6 to 8, and we're going to be giving out the frequency formulations to get rid of the flu, which I think is absolutely artificial, and we can look at it again. Okay, for those of you who are having problems, Richard, give out that number again so they can go to blog
347-850-1407, and I just put it in chat at WebEx for people to see. I think for now that everybody should be listening to the audio there because there seems to be dropout issues at WebEx.
Okay, somehow my microphone got muted. Is it unmuted now on WebEx, Richard, or anybody? I will send that to you, Judy. Remind me. I hear you on WebEx now. Well, while they can hear me, I am going to play something that will show that we're being lied to. Actually, we're going to show three or four things because when Richard and I started putting this together, we found audio, videos that said things much better than we could and had more clout. So the first one is about the lies, and these aren't very long. So for those of you who want to watch this, we'll put the link in there, but you can also go to our WebEx invitation that's found under radio on our site, soundhealthoptions.com. But while this is playing, I will put the link in so you can watch it. But this is Piers Morgan, and I don't like him much anyway. Oh, there's my prejudice. I just think he is a puppet for the pharmaceutical industry, but here it shows close to home and what happened to him when he decided to support their nonsense. Well, this is supposed to be playing. Well, did you see that flip on and off?
Yeah, I saw it for a moment.
I'll go get it another way. Well, I think my computer has just frozen itself. Well, that's not
it. Must be that A sharp today. It certainly has something's going on, that's for sure.
Well, the computer will move things around, so I am not sure what's happening here. Flu vaccine. I can't get anywhere. Richard, do you have these at all where you are?
I do, but I don't have them on my tablet, and currently I can't get into WebEx on my computer, so there's nothing I could do.
Oh, okay. Well, I see it here. I just can't get it to play. I have the link. Oh, proof. I think it's going to come up here.
I've been taking my clothes off, not just for Mimi's benefit, although she's rather enjoying it. So I'm about to have my first ever flu shot, and I thought, yeah, a better guy need to do it. So the myth about these, and I'm told it's a myth, is that you can actually get flu or flu-like symptoms simply by having the shot. Is that true?
You cannot get the flu from the flu shot because material is actually dead flu virus.
Okay.
So it cannot cause a problem for you. It's based on whatever virus was present in Southeast Asia a few months ago.
Okay. So that is a myth.
That's a myth.
Notice everything has turned mirror image in the video.
You're a very large needle.
I love this.
Just enjoy it.
Literally the biggest needle I could find. There are none larger. Please give me a muscle.
Okay.
That's it?
Wait, that's the biggest muscle you've seen for a while.
All right, that's it. One, two, three.
Oh,
and all
blood.
Please.
Oh.
Stop bleeding. No blood even, please. I'll give you a band if you don't cry.
Okay.
Well,
it's like a dull ache, really, isn't it? It doesn't really hurt.
It doesn't really hurt. And the muscle.
He's had his flu shot now from Dr. Oz.
I got a mosquito bite.
Should children have them?
It's recommended that after the age of 6 months that we give it to our kids. And frankly, it's much more valuable in the really young than the really old. But it's particularly the older folks who get the flu, and then they have heart attacks related to it. They get all kinds of complications related to it. So, listen, it's one of those smart things. In life, there are some things that are predictable. There are some things that aren't. This is one of those events that I think can be beneficial with very low side effect. I mean, we've got 100 million of these little vials out there waiting to help people with. Let's take advantage of it.
I get flu now. I'm coming after you.
I hear.
It's 130 million flu shots they've got to get rid of. 1 week later.
25 million records. Dwight Yoakam is much more than a country superstar. He's a talented actor with a lot to say about issues that matter to America. Dwight's latest album is Three Pairs. Welcome to you, Dwight.
Thank you.
Before we go any further, you're a singer.
Yeah.
You must have had sore throat.
I hear you.
You can tell things are deteriorating. Is there any advice you can give me?
Don't ever take a flu shot again. Now, I watched that night with Dr. Oz, and in deference to Dr. Oz, I think he's... You know, he seems like a completely competent doctor, but I don't understand any of the, you know, the kind of biological aspects of the meds.
But we're both doing the maths, aren't we? We both saw him put that thing in my arm, and
yeah,
within 10 days, I'm just struck
and
down.
You know what? I don't want to tell anybody out there. I'm not a medical advisor. Get your vaccines if you. I don't believe in them. I'm just suspicious by nature. And I saw you get it, and here we are.
Well, let's try. We'll try and plow on with the interview.
He put that thing in my arm, and within 10 days, I've been struck down. And they're saying you cannot get the flu from a flu shot. We watched another one a week or few. So ago, another announcer had also gotten the flu shot and been struck down. So they're lying to you. I already knew they were lying to you because I watched my mother get these shots every year, and every year she would get the flu. Worse than, I think, a normal flu, had she not gotten the shot. So here we are. Are they lying? What do you think, Richard?
Lying. I think they don't know. I mean, they could be lying. I'm not saying they aren't lying. I just am thinking there's so much, you know, it goes back to that piece I was talking about with watching this from the CDC talking about wiping down babies with chlorhexidine this morning, is they just think that with a dogmatic belief system that no, there's no reason why this should harm anybody, why it should make anybody sick, and yet they keep doing it. And then, of course, there is my classic caveat of follow the money. When you consider there were more than 122 million vaccines given this year, that's a lot of dough to the pharmaceutical companies that are making the vaccines and that are sponsors and own companies that are advertisers on Pierce's show that put, you know, Dr. Oz on his show. And, I mean, it's an amazing machine.
Well, what if we had said that, just you or not? Don't take these shots because they can give you the flu. Would anybody have believed us?
No.
And
well, the people listening here, perhaps.
Well, how about the thousands, millions of people who listen to Dr. Oz? This can't happen. There's the evidence. Why are we still believing these people? Barbara Lowe Fisher, National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org, and they have tried to make it so hard on her, NVIC.com, was a porno site, so people would get that instead of her site. But she brings in the evidence more than I could by sitting here reading all these statistics to you. She tells the truth. I've tested her voice. I've tested her voice against Catherine Sebelius from the Health and Human Services, Janet Napolitano from Homeland Security, and that's what they're trying to drive this under, Homeland Security. We'll all be more secure if everybody gets a vaccination. Everybody. But Muslims, they don't have to take it. What kind of stupid thing is that? That's just incredibly off the mark. If everybody has to do it, everybody has to do it. Why single out one group and say, you don't have to? That just kills the logic. There is no logic here of what they're trying to do. By law, Gardasil is given to young girls age 12 and up in California. By law, by government assignment. And these girls can take these shots without their parents' permission. Shots that have killed hundreds of people. That is not logical. Listen, go to YouTube. Listen to Ron Paul. He says, 3 young babies died from hepatitis 1 year. They decided in California to give hepatitis shots to all newborns by law. 36 babies died. Do the math. Barbara Lowe Fisher tells the truth here, and here are the facts.
My name is Barbara Lowe Fisher. My son was injured by DPT vaccine in 1980, and this is a commentary brought to you by the nonprofit National Vaccine Information Center. You can read this commentary on NVIC.org, where there are live links to all references. Well, it's that time of the year again, when drug companies, doctors, government officials, and media conduct a national advertising campaign to sell flu shots to every American. You can't pass by a pharmacy, enter a supermarket, shop in a big box store, or catch a plane without seeing the flu shots for sale signs trolling for customers. The pharmaceutical industry is cutting out the MD middleman and going straight for the gold in places where we shop for toothpaste, clothes, and food. Even on the evening news, flu shot commercials are becoming as frequent as political campaign ads. Up until the year 2000, flu shots were not recommended for everyone. Back in the 1990s, doctors were telling seniors over age 65 and younger people with chronic illness to get vaccinated. Now doctors at the CDC tell every man, woman, and child over 6 months old they need an annual flu shot, and it is okay for healthcare workers to be fired if they don't get vaccinated every year. In the states of Connecticut and New Jersey, mandates are already in place that force parents to give their six-month-old babies flu vaccines or be banned from daycare. This, as state health department officials join with medical trade association lobbyists in many states to severely restrict or eliminate medical, religious, and conscientious belief exemptions for vaccination for all children. The vaccine liability shield that Congress gave doctors and drug companies in 1986 and the public-private business partnership between government and the pharmaceutical industry that Congress created after September 11, 2001, is paying big dividends for liability-free drug companies and liability-free doctors selling flu shots to more than 300 million Americans. It doesn't matter in 80% of all flu-like illness, is really caused by other viruses and bacteria and not influenza, or that flu vaccine efficacy is estimated at 60 to 80% depending upon age and what kind of vaccine is given. The selling of influenza vaccine has a lot to do with selling big morbidity and mortality numbers. So how bad were those numbers in the late 20th century to justify government taking the no exceptions cradle to the grave approach to flu shots for every American in the 21st century? Let's take a quick look at the hype versus the evidence. The first experimental influenza vaccines were given to soldiers in World War II. It wasn't until the 1957, 58, and 1968, 69 influenza pandemics that the vaccine was marketed to civilians. Between 1970 and 2000, the trivalent influenza vaccine containing two strains of type A influenza and one strain of type B influenza was primarily recommended for the elderly. That's because respiratory infections, especially with pneumonia complications, have always been a leading cause of death for people at the end of their lifespan. There was only one deadly influenza pandemic in the last 100 years that killed the young and healthy in great numbers, and that was the 1918 Spanish flu. It turns out that bacterial pneumonia is what killed most people, young or old, in the 1918 pandemic. Today, antibiotics would have prevented most of those deaths. But just how bad is seasonal influenza today? The CDC has been telling the public for nearly a decade that there are more than 200,000 estimated hospitalizations and 36,000 estimated deaths from influenza in the U.S. every year. But are those figures accurate? Well, it all depends upon the use of the word estimate. The U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality reported that in 2004, there were about 37,000 Americans hospitalized for either influenza or another illness in addition to influenza, and patients over age 85 were twice as likely to die. 37,000 influenza hospitalizations is five times less than the 200,000 hospitalization figure the CDC uses. Now, that's because what CDC employees did to come up with their influenza hospitalization estimate was to count a lot of people hospitalized between 1979 and 2001, not just with influenza, but also with pneumonia, respiratory, and circulatory illnesses, which they counted as probably associated with influenza. And they got away with it. In 2003, CDC employees also used a convoluted statistical modeling scheme to estimate that 36,000 people die from influenza in the U.S. every year. Again, they counted not just influenza death cases, but also threw in other respiratory, circulatory, cardiac, and pulmonary deaths they thought might have been associated with influenza. And they got away with it. In 2005, a young PhD candidate at MIT published an article in the British Medical Journal and asked the question, are U.S. flu death figures more PR than science? He analyzed the U.S. vital statistics mortality data, which has been carefully recorded for more than a century by the National Center for Health Statistics. I recently looked at that vital statistic data, too, and created a chart of influenza and pneumonia deaths recorded between 1940 and 2010. Here is what I found. Since 1940, the highest number of influenza deaths recorded in a single year was 21,047 deaths in 1941. In fact, the mortality rate from influenza was not rising in the late 20th century, as the CDC employees have alleged. It was dropping. There were only between 600 and 750 influenza deaths recorded annually between 1995 and 1997. The most influenza deaths recorded in a single year since 1979 was about 2,900 deaths, and that was in 2009, the H1N1 swine flu pandemic year. But that didn't stop CDC policymakers, along with drug company and medical trade association lobbyists ever present at the policymaking table, from using inflated influenza hospitalization and mortality estimates to justify expanding the influenza vaccine market. In 2000, CDC policymakers voted to expand flu shot recommendations to all healthy Americans over age 50. Out of a population of 300 million, there were 1,726 recorded influenza deaths that year. In 2002, CDC voted to add all healthy babies from 6 to 23 months old. There were 727 recorded influenza deaths that year. In 2006, CDC voted to recommend flu shots for all healthy children up to 5 years old, as well as all healthy pregnant women in any trimester. There were 848 recorded influenza deaths that year. In 2007, CDC voted to add all healthy children up to 8 years old. There were 411 recorded influenza deaths that year. In 2008, CDC voted to recommend annual flu shots for all healthy children up to age 18 years. There were 1,722 recorded influenza deaths that year. In 2009, the Secretaries of Health and Homeland Security declared a national emergency because they said pandemic H1N1 swine flu was sweeping the country and tens of thousands of people could die. Liability-free drug companies were told to rush an experimental swine flu vaccine to the market. In 2010, a year when there were 494 recorded influenza deaths, the CDC officials finally reached the ultimate goal of their long game. They told doctors to give annual flu shots to every American, healthy or not, from the year of birth to the year of death. And they got away with it. They got away with it because the CDC does not require states to, quote, report individual seasonal flu cases or deaths of people older than 18 years of age. That's right. The CDC is not actually asking for the information they need to accurately assess influenza, morbidity, and mortality in the U.S. It would be funny if people weren't actually losing their jobs or being denied daycare or becoming paralyzed by this no exceptions flu shot policy. Today, the global market for seasonal influenza vaccine is $3.6 billion. And forecasters have recently reported that the U.S. is the single biggest and most profitable market in the world. They say the huge U.S. market is, quote, driven by price increases and high vaccine coverage rates generated by the 2009 influenza pandemic and the government's, quote, universal flu shot recommendation in 2010. They add that, quote, campaigning by U.S. authorities will continue to drive up flu shot sales. Meanwhile, doctors at the CDC now quietly admit on their website that, quote, CDC does not know exactly how many people die from seasonal flu each year. Well, having gotten that cradle-to-the-grave flu shot recommendation firmly in place, they are now backing away from the 36,000 influenza death figure. CDC now says that, quote, only 8.5% of all pneumonia and influenza deaths and only 2.1% of all respiratory and circulatory deaths are influenza-related. You can almost hear those liability-free drug companies and doctors laughing all the way to the bank. Go to NBIC.org to learn more about influenza and the vaccine. It's your health, your family, your choice.
That is absolutely incredible. I have tested her voice. She is telling the truth. And Steve has just written in our chat, why don't we look at Dr. Oz's voice? I will have that for you tonight on the Guardian program that we're going to do. We'll see who's telling the truth here. And Steve also writes, on the Robert Bell Show from Natural News, they had a clip of a spokesperson from the CDC. She admitted that a child under 1 year old does not have a fully enough developed immune system to even create antibodies from getting a vaccine. The purpose is simply to train the parents to get used to bringing their kids in for a complete vaccine schedule. One of the things that Barbara Lo Fisher did not mention was that the mumps and measles pandemic that they're putting in the paper are actually from kids who have had the shots. She also didn't mention that these vaccines have been outlawed in many countries. And our government has hoodwinked us worse than that, pulled the wool over our eyes worse than that. Just totally lied to us that this is good for our children. Do you have any comments about what Barbara Lo Fisher has said or stated here, Richard?
It makes me, you know, almost silent, which, as we know, is not easy. It just, you know, every time I hear her, she's so passionate and she's so speaking her truth. And it is, it's just, you know, disgusting.
That same year, 2009, that she was saying that when they said it was in a national state of emergency, Janet Napolitano, I put that in there wrong. It's NVIC.org. Kathleen Sebelius and Obama, all of them were not telling the truth. And then someone posts here, isn't Donald Rumsfeld the major stockholder in the flu production firms? I don't know, but somebody ought to check that out. That's incredible. So you've seen the lie from Dr. Oz to Piers Morgan, who was trying to perpetuate the lie, but he got caught in his own lie. Then you have seen Barbara Lo Fisher talk about what is really going on. There is another one that is just absolutely excellent that we're going to play for you. We may not get all through this one, but we do have another one also about a doctor who was told in medical school that he was to give these shots and no questions asked, but he did his own research, and so that's the last one we'll play. This one is pretty short. Let's see if this will come up. Well, I want to open it a little bigger here so people can see it. And Richard is going to post all of this information about these links. America will falter, never be destroyed from the outside.
My name is Barbara Lo Fisher. I'm the mother of a son injured by DPT vaccine in 1980. And this is a reference commentary brought to you by the nonprofit National Vaccine.
I'm going to start that over because I want to read that. America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves.
My name is Barbara Lo Fisher. I'm the mother of a son injured by DPT vaccine in 1980. And this is a reference commentary brought to you by the nonprofit National Vaccine Information Center that can be read on NVIC.org. In America today, there is an unprecedented assault on the human right to exercise informed consent to medical risk-taking. It is being led by one of the most powerful and wealthy corporate empires in the world, the global pharmaceutical industry. What is at stake for Big Pharma is a $1 trillion market for prescription drugs and vaccines. What is at stake for the American people is our health and our liberty. For more than a century, pharmaceutical corporations have created a lucrative monopoly on healthcare in America. They have done this by forging an alliance with a select group of medical doctors and scientists inside and outside of government who develop and promote widespread drug and vaccine use. Doctors in private practice who are encouraged to deliver drugs and vaccines to the people have become, perhaps without even realizing it, de facto drug company sales reps. Americans, who represent about 5% of the world's population, are the most highly vaccinated and drugged population on the planet. We consume nearly 40% of all pharmaceutical products sold. In 2009, doctors ordered nearly 4 billion prescriptions for Americans, which is one reason why annual health care costs are nearly $3 trillion in the U.S. Today, our children are being given 3 times as many vaccinations as they got in the early 1980s. 3 times as many vaccinations means 3 times as much profit for drug companies and doctors selling vaccines. The base cost for a child to get every government-recommended vaccine in a private pediatrician's office has increased from $80 per child in 1986 to a whopping $2,200 per child in 2011, and that doesn't include physician office administration fees. The federal government now spends nearly $4 billion per year to purchase vaccines for public health clinics, where half of America's children are vaccinated. It is no surprise that vaccine development is one of the fastest growing sectors in the pharmaceutical industry. By 2013, pharma will enjoy a $36 billion vaccine market. In 1986, there were 3 major drug corporations selling vaccines in the U.S., and now there are 8. That's because in 1986, pharma blackmailed Congress into giving them partial liability protection from vaccine injury lawsuits by suggesting they would have to abandon the U.S. childhood vaccine market without a liability shield. In February of this year, drug companies got what they wanted all along. The U.S. Supreme Court gave pharma total immunity from lawsuits, even if they could have made a vaccine less harmful. Vaccines, said the court, are, quote, unavoidably unsafe. So if your child is brain injured by a vaccine that you may not have wanted your child to get in the first place, all you can do is file a claim in the Federal Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Even though the program has awarded more than $2 billion to vaccine victims, 2 out of 3 plaintiffs are turned away empty-handed. With no liability or accountability for those making, licensing, selling, and giving vaccines in America, there are no checks and balances to ensure that vaccines are safe and effective. Doctors who have been taught to believe that infectious microorganisms should be eradicated from the earth with the mandatory use of multiple vaccines are as ripe for exploitation as the people they vaccinate. The only barrier left to unlimited vaccine profit-making is the freedom for Americans to choose whether or not to use every new vaccine that pharma creates and wants mandated. Freedom of choice is something Big Pharma and the medical lobby does not want you to have. They know that many educated consumers in America and around the world are dissatisfied with the old pharmaceutical-based healthcare paradigm. They know that 63% of all Americans, including 76% of healthcare workers, are empowering themselves with information and choosing less toxic, less expensive, more naturally effective ways to achieve and maintain health. Today, millions of Americans are choosing to buy and eat organic and avoid genetically modified foods. We are choosing to buy and drink pure water with no chemicals in it. We are choosing mercury-free dental fillings. We are choosing exercise and meditation. We are choosing drug-free, hospital-free births and breastfeeding. We are throwing away the bottles of prescription drugs in our medicine cabinets and choosing to get advice from holistic health professionals offering less toxic alternatives to stay well, like acupuncture, chiropractic, homeopathy, and naturopathy. And we are questioning why we and our children should be required to get a long list of expensive vaccines that carry serious risks and sometimes don't work at all. This is a health liberty revolution, and pharma knows it. So pharma is funding medical organizations profiting from mass vaccination policies to press politicians into quickly passing laws that force Americans to buy and use dozens of doses of vaccines. They are demanding that everyone salute smartly and obey doctors' orders to get vaccinated or be barred from getting an education, health insurance, medical care, or a job. The goal is to, in effect, brand unvaccinated citizens as enemies of the state so they can be fined or imprisoned. Can this really be happening in America? Yes, it can. In 2007, we witnessed public health officials summon nearly 1,000 parents with their children to a Maryland courthouse policed by armed guards and dogs to show proof the children had gotten chickenpox and hepatitis B shots. Parents were threatened with stiff fines and jail time if they didn't comply. Last spring in Washington State, medical organizations joined with pharma lobbyists to pressure politicians to pass a law that requires parents to get the signature of a medical doctor or designated medical worker for a child to receive a non-medical exemption to vaccination. What this means is that some citizens in society who have MD or certain other medical initials written after their names now have the power in Washington State to pass judgment on the conscientious or spiritually held beliefs of fellow citizens. It gives some citizens who may be ideologically opposed to the informed consent ethic a green light to threaten and coerce other citizens into violating their conscience and personal beliefs. This expanded authority is added to the authority that medical doctors have had for a long time, which includes the power to refuse to grant a child a medical exemption to vaccination, even when the child has suffered a sudden and serious decline in health following previous vaccinations and could be more seriously harmed if additional vaccines are given. Right now, drug company and medical lobbyists are trying to put further legal restrictions on vaccine exemptions in Colorado and other states. In cash-strapped California, the pharma med lobby is pushing for a law that will allow doctors to give minor children expensive new vaccines for sexually transmitted diseases, like Gardasil, without the informed consent of parents. But what happens if a vaccine given to a child without the parent's consent ends up injuring or killing a child? Is anyone accountable? No. Nobody is liable in a court of law to be tried before a jury of our peers when our children and grandchildren are injured or die after getting vaccinated. Not the drug companies that made the vaccines. Not the federal health officials who licensed and recommended the vaccines. Not the doctor or medical worker who gave the vaccines. And not the state politician who voted for vaccine mandates or looked the other way while state health officials added another new vaccine to the required list. Nobody is held accountable or liable when a child is injured or killed by vaccines in America, except the parent of that child, whose informed consent rights may have been violated by fellow citizens wielding power they should never have been given. This is a health liberty revolution. After 50 years of heavy prescription drug and vaccine use, Americans are waking up to the fact that they are not healthier, but are sicker than ever before, and they are asking a lot of questions. More of us are wondering why doctors inside and outside of government are insisting that every child get 70 doses of 16 vaccines starting on the first day of life, and why that list includes expensive new vaccines for mild diseases like chickenpox, and for diseases you can't catch in a classroom like hepatitis B. More of us are asking why we have to get a flu shot every year and why healthcare workers are losing their jobs if they don't. More of us are looking at vaccine studies published in the medical literature, many of which are paid for by drug companies or public health agencies promoting one-size-fits-all vaccine policies, only to discover that a lot of those studies are the best junk science that money can buy. More of us are watching doctors paid by pharma persuade journalists to demonize anyone asking questions about vaccination, so other people are afraid to speak up because they know they will be targeted for humiliation and persecution. But mostly, we're asking why so many of our highly vaccinated children are so sick, with no good explanation coming from the public health officials and doctors we have trusted with their health. Today, one child in six in America is learning disabled. One in nine has asthma. One in 10 is diagnosed with ADHD, One in 110 develops autism. One in 450 becomes diabetic. And millions more are suffering with severe allergies, inflammatory bowel disorders, crippling depression, and other kinds of brain and immune system dysfunction, while America's infant mortality rate ranks among the worst of all developed nations. 6 out of 1,000 babies born live in America die before their first birthday. Despite the reality that more vaccination does not equal better individual and public health, there are over 3,000 new vaccine clinical trials underway. Pharma is creating new genetically engineered vaccines, which will ramp up the manipulation of our immune systems and even change our DNA to prevent everything from tooth decay, acne, and smoking, to high blood pressure, herpes, gonorrhea, and HIV/AIDS. It is time for all of us to stand up and end our participation in the failed pharma-based healthcare paradigm, so we can take back our health and our liberty. If vaccines are safe and effective for everyone, then those who choose to get vaccinated should have nothing to fear from those who choose not to get vaccinated. If vaccines are not safe and effective for everyone, then it is unethical to require anyone to get vaccinated without their informed consent. The human right to protect bodily integrity trumps any authority the state gives to some citizens to coerce other citizens into taking medical risks against their will. Because if the state can tag, track down, and force individuals to be injected with biologicals of known and unknown toxicity today, then there will be no limit on which individual freedoms the state can take away in the name of the greater good tomorrow. Please go to NBIC.org and volunteer to work in your state to defend vaccine exemptions. Empower yourself and stand up for liberty today. It's your health, your family, your choice.
This is one of the best ones that I have seen. But Barbara Lo Fisher is not a medical person, not a doctor. She is a concerned consumer, a consumer that had her child maimed. And she doesn't want that to happen to anyone else. So in the name of being fair, we probably should play something that is pro-vaccination, but I don't think we need to be fair, because they are certainly raping us of our health and our money. So I thought I would bring in a doctor who will tell you about his own experience. It's not coming on. Just so you can get an idea from the medical field. You can also go to Dr. McCullough, McCullough, MERCOLA.com. And this is his interview with a doctor who did special research with this. And I will get right back to chat as this is going on. A lot of great questions coming in.
Welcome, everyone. This is Dr. McCullough, and today I'm joined with Dr. Lawrence Fleshy, who's a board-certified pediatrician and who uses a holistic approach to children and wellness and illness by incorporating nutritional science, environmental medicine, chiropractic, osteopathy, and other natural healing modalities in his pediatric office in New York. He also has worked in pediatric emergency and intensive medicine and in neonatal and newborn care. He is one of the leading pediatricians in the United States that advocates a more conservative approach to using vaccines. So, welcome, and thank you for joining us today, Dr. Fleshy.
Pleasure to be here. As a former fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics,
could you give us some background on how you came to choose a more holistic way of practicing medicine for children? I was taught in residency, in medical school residency, that vaccines were safe and they were effective, and that there's absolutely no reason to question it because we've done all the studies.
What I've realized is that the
safety that I would want for kids, having taken the Hippocratic Oath of first do no harm, is not happening. The vaccines are not safe the way we're told that they're safe. The injection of these materials has never really been evaluated in different age groups, in pediatrics
or in adults.
We don't know where vaccine materials travel. We don't know if they go into the brain. We don't know if they go into the liver. We don't know if they go into the lymph system. We don't know if they get intracellularly and destroy mitochondria and nuclei. All we know is that they give you an IgG antibody and the disease seems to disappear, but we're not really looking to see if there's an adverse outcome greater than the actual disease process itself. And I've come to a position where there's not enough information to say that vaccines are sufficiently safe to warrant the kind of usage of these vaccines the way we're implementing these policies. And in fact, in many cases, some of the adverse effects of vaccines may have been greater than the adverse effects of the actual diseases. And I'm concerned because I took that oath of first do no harm, and I see firsthand what's going on with the vaccines and how it's affecting children's health. I did not turn my back when I heard parent after parent in the dozens and the hundreds and then in the thousands start to say that their children were fine and then they got vaccinated and then something really bad happened to them acutely or within days or weeks or even months. Those parents were told 100% of the time by the conventional medical system it's a coincidence. It couldn't possibly be related to the vaccine. As a person who's curious about science and questioning, it became obvious to me that there may not be a coincidence here,
that something more may be going on.
I think it's hard for any physician who is so invested in the love of the children and the love of their practice to actually step back and say, am I doing something that's hurting the children in my practice? Because the foundation that's broken after they may realize that there's more that they knew, that they actually were wrong. You know, telling a physician that they're wrong is not an easy thing to do,
let alone
to have the physician actually admit that the physician was wrong. To hear a physician, I mean, it took me years to say, I don't know,
or maybe
I was wrong. In such a litigious society, it's very hard for physicians to actually say, I don't know, or, you know, maybe I was wrong, or maybe I did something that I didn't know was harmful. And so the physicians have to adhere to this one-party line voice that says, vaccines are safe, they're effective, and you must get them. There's no room for disagreement. And to disagree with that means that you're disagreeing with the
one-party line, the
paternalistic body that says,
you must listen to me.
And then we're no longer dealing with actual medicine. We're dealing with something very different. And I would go so far as to say that the people who hold true to the vaccines are completely safe, they're completely
effective. Oh, well, maybe there are a couple of side effects that happen occasionally.
But if the adherents who say vaccines are safe, they're effective, you must get vaccinated or else your child will die. If you don't vaccinate, you're the one that's going to infect everybody else because somehow vaccines
eliminate the presence of organisms in those who are vaccinated, which is another myth that people propagate.
And I think parents are waking up to the fact that we can't trust you when you say stuff like that. In fact, we are repulsed by your authority when we hear you say things like that. What we need is a little more humility, because I trusted, and this is what happened to my kid. You can't tell me it's a coincidence, because I know,
and my friends know, and my relatives know,
because we have all these autoimmune diseases and chronic inflammatory diseases that we didn't have, and now we have all these vaccines and we're seeing things happen. We know, and you're not listening. So if you're not listening, we're going to find the people who will. And really, the people who are listening are the parents. And what you need is a critical mass of parents who are going to be able to go into the legislature. Because the legislatures are parroting the ideology, because they're not as scientifically based as the physicians or as the parents. And they're just following the lobbyists who tell them,
from the manufacturers, from the medical organizations, from the whatever other lobbyists are there, that that vaccines are completely safe and effective, and this is what they do. But the parents are getting in there, and they're fighting, and they need to keep fighting and educating, because they're the ones who are home with the kids. They're the ones who are seeing the changes. They're the ones who are reading literature and seeing that there are a tremendous number of scientific studies that are proving that vaccines may not be as safe and effective as we thought they were. And the only way to create this dialogue is for those parents to bring it out, because the media won't report it, because they're part of the lobbyists that are making sure that this information doesn't get out.
I'm wondering if you could, if you have any recommendations for parents who encounter a physician, a pediatrician who's resistant to the vaccine and this basically fires them from their practice.
Right. How they can find a
clinician who's more open to
and allow them to do exercise their
insight. Right. Well, before the physician fires the parent, I do recommend that the parent try to engage in a calm,
quiet dialogue.
And I mean, the appeal that I recommend that parents bring to their physician is, I like you. I like the way you care for my family.
I respect your clinical judgment.
I don't expect that we're going to have 100% agreement in the way in which I practice medicine with my family and the way you as a physician practice medicine in your office. But this is an issue that I'm asking you if you would respect my wishes, because I'd really like you to continue taking care of my child. And if the physician at that point says no, then the parent has been given a blessing, because you really want to work with a physician who you respect and who respects most of your opinion. And the way in which parents would then find a physician is asking other parents in the community, because most physicians
who are open are not advertising that they're open. There are some
physicians who do have resources for parents. I think Dr. Bob Sears has one that he has a list of physicians who are open to either a staggered vaccine schedule or to not vaccinating. But I don't know if that list is complete, and I don't know the people on the list, so I can't vouch for them. But I do understand that there are physicians, and the best way to find those physicians is through either NVIC.org,
because they do
know some physicians.
There are other
allied health professionals who are aware of physicians, so you might find some in Chinese medicine or in chiropractic or in naturopathy, osteopathy, homeopathy, that know physicians in the area who are open, and but rarely would you be able to find it out from any medical organization.
With respect to vaccine injury, I'm wondering if you can share your experience with how many patients you're seeing in your practice now,
a month or a year, where these individuals have a clear case
of vaccine injury.
Well, my first answer is too many. I see,
right now I'm working a part-time schedule of 2 clinical days a week, and I would say that
I
see at least one each of those days. So at least 2 a week of children whose parents have this inner belief that their children succumb to an injury from the vaccination. And it's sad because, you know, I look at many of these families and I say, you know, I wish I never had to see you for these reasons. Many parents will ask, well, how do I get my kid better? You know, and the question is a good one.
But the question on top of that is really, I don't know.
And, you know, you have a lot of people who say, I can get those kids better. I have this treatment and that treatment. I think we really don't understand the depth to which the vaccine materials get into the nuclei, the mitochondria, through the cell membranes,
across the blood-brain
barrier, into the brain, into the immune cell.
We
don't have any understanding
of what those materials are and the
depth to which those materials get in So to say, and whether or not those contaminants actually become a regular part of protein synthesis, enzymes, or just hijacking the optimal cellular DNA and RNA of that cell.
We have no idea.
So when parents say to me, you know, how do I get my kids better? You know, the
first thing that I say to them
is, you know, after I've said this, is we have to try to stop feeding any other toxins into the body, because the body can heal itself if given the right tool. So
the goal is to stop putting the things
into the body that continue to create an inflammatory reaction, in hopes that you can then support the body to remove whatever inflammation is circulating so that a new function can happen. Each kid is different, so there's no
across the board, this is the remedy that I would use for every kid.
And then I work with a lot of other practitioners who can support the body's innate capacity to heal so that the kids can get better.
Not everybody can get better because we don't know the depth of their injury. We also don't know the depth of what's in their body
after they've been injected with things that we don't even know are in there.
We know much more than we don't know than we know at this point.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I've worked with so many kids
with chronic illness, not just autism, but chronic illness across the board.
And I've just offered the families the information that I've learned over the years, supported with the scientific literature, and the families would notice that their kids would get better. And, you know, it was diet, it was supplements, it was referrals to different practitioners, it was different lifestyle changes, different parenting techniques, understanding development better. And the parents would then go back to the pediatricians that they also see on a regular basis. And almost 100% of the time, these pediatricians did not want to know how the kids got better. There was no curiosity.
There was no interest.
They were just happy that the children were better. But none of them were even going to the place of having a discussion with the parent. I mean, I gave a talk recently, and there was a physician in the audience. And
one of the
studies that I showed was comparing health outcomes
of vaccinated,
partially vaccinated, and
non-vaccinated
children. And just with that study, the conclusions from that study were that parents who had children who were fully vaccinated reported higher incidences of atopic disease, and parents who had children who were not vaccinated reported the least number of children with atopic disease, and that was a statistically significant finding. And the doctor who heard that study started getting belligerent and getting angry with me and yelling at me that he could find studies that showed that vaccines do not contribute to atopic illness or allergies or asthma. And I said, well, who does those studies? And he started to get more ornery with me. And he accused me of cherry picking the literature. And what I tried to say, and had a little difficulty saying, which was that if you show me the studies that show that there's no relationship between vaccines and atopic disease, where were you comparing vaccinated kids to non-vaccinated kids? Because those studies have not been done. You won't find those studies. So I'm not cherry-picking the literature. I'm finding the only study that I can find that actually compares vaccinated to unvaccinated children. That doesn't necessarily conclude that vaccines cause atopic disease. All that study shows is that in that population, there was a statistically significant finding between vaccinated and unvaccinated children.
So what I said to the group was,
this study should be a peek into the potential
for other studies
to see if it's replicable, if it actually has truth in it, and let's do the science. And again, the ideology was so strong in him that he attacked me, he was belligerent, and he couldn't accept the fact that I wasn't cherry-picking literature. I was actually finding the only piece of literature that supported what I thought and what others think is good scientific standards,
using
good scientific standards.
Let's do more studies.
Applying the scientific method in a sound and rational way.
Correct.
So I'm wondering if you could mention your resources and books or websites or clinics that you have if people wanted to find out more information about what you're doing or receive.
Well, I have a website, www.drpalevsky.com,
D-R-P-A-L-E, V as in Victor, S as in Sam, K-Y, drpalevsky.com. I also have a Facebook page where I post updated articles and my comments on some of those articles. That's at
Lawrence B. Pilevsky,
M.D. And there's a lot of resources on my website for my philosophy, how to get in touch with me if I see patients, where. And
that's
well, thank you for joining us and contributing to our important information on this topic that really can't get too much of because there's just so much that's unknown. So appreciate you and all you're doing to help advance the science. Thank you.
What we tried to do with this show is bring you information from different perspectives so that you can make informed decisions. Thank you for putting that in, drpalevsky.com, and Sam. There is a great many wonderful comments on the website, on the chat. And for those of you on Blog Talk, Marianne has posted that she found something called L as in Linda, D as in dog, M as in mom, LDM-100, and it was used in the Spanish flu pandemic and is related to an herb that I just read here, parsley, from parsley, which is cilantro, which, you know, we eat on our food all the time. It's supposed to be great and wonderful for us. We've ran over a little bit, but I think all of these perspectives are very important. If you can't post all of them to your friend, please post at least one. I think the one with Barbara Lou Fisher, the second one we played, and I've put that in the chat for people, is the most excellent one and a plea for people to protect their not only their family and their children, but to protect our genetic pool. Richard, is that you wanting to say something or somebody else has their mic open?
That was actually me possibly clearing my throat, although I did hear somebody else. I was going to add that I also put all those links into chat at Blog Talk Radio for all the videos we watched, and especially that really fabulous one with Barbara Lowe wrapping down the stats is excellent.
I don't know who that is making all that noise, but I will try to mute everyone and see what happens. Okay, I hope I did not mute myself. I think I needed to unmute myself because I muted everybody else. This is live meeting on this Tuesday coming up for happy hour. We'll be doing things on viral infections and Gardasil and all that good stuff. We're also having a big meeting this month at Santa Fe with Dr. Rogers from Parkinson's Recovery. We'll be doing a two-day Parkinson's show, and we're going to be providing about $1,200 worth of software to the audience. So if you've got Parkinson's in your family or you want to join us, and you're welcome to bring a companion to that show or to do it online, let me know. Who is the source of authority? Well, I think the government just took it. One of the ways that the American Medical Association took authority is they wrote a journal and just decided that they were the authority. And so I think that's the same thing the government in bed with Big Pharma is trying to do. Big Pharma gives lots of money to get somebody elected, and then comes payback time. And I'm wondering seriously about Dr. Oz, because I thought he was legitimate. But you know, what we saw there with Piers Morgan really turns it on its head, and Piers Morgan told on him. So I'm very happy about that. We are going to be editing this and taking out all the front where we're having all of the trouble with sound, and probably have to take this piece out too. We'll be putting this back up just as soon as we can on Blog Talk and on WebEx for anybody who wants to listen to it on our archives under radio. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Richard, for helping host and bringing us this new way to listen. Let us know what your experiences were with using this on the phone. And think about and ask yourself the question, am I afraid of my own government? And if you are, it means we're not living in a free country. We are living like other countries where they are suppressed. In talking to people from other countries that are taking our classes, they see America as it's time that America gets its comeuppance. There's not going to be a lot of people come to our rescue. And I think our own people want rid of the government, the mining company that's in Washington that is mining our labor, our gold, and passing it on to their friends for their own purposes and leaving us out. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, everybody. That was a great show.
Thanks for the comments.
I love our chat.